You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are happy to be with you. I'm Leanne Dolan. I'm here in Pasadena, California, currently sheltering alone with just my husband and my dog. My kids are elsewhere and they are okay and healthy and safe. And I'm grateful for that. Liz, where are you today?
I'm here in the Mudbath Productions headquarters, Leanne, also known as my second bedroom. And for those of you who follow us on Instagram, you would have just seen a live shot of the inside of my second bedroom. So there's a little motivation to follow us on Instagram. And Julie, where are you?
Hi, this is Julie. You know, I'm the oldest sister. I'm the trendsetter. I have always been in my closet. And I remain true to my closet here in Dallas, Texas. I'm happy to be with you, sisters, today and every day.
Well, we are going to talk today a little bit of history for Satellite Sisters. It's our anniversary today. We're going to tell you about that in a little bit. We also have, let's see what we have. We're just going to catch up with each other and see how everyone's doing. I posted on the Facebook page. People really responded about how they're doing. There are good days and bad for most people. We have a lot of people in our community that are essential workers. And so we're going to talk about the special stresses they face. I had to do some work this weekend. I had to talk to a couple of really interesting female business leaders. I had set this up like 6 weeks ago. It was supposed to be a completely different conversation about like, yay, woohoo, opportunities for women. And it turned into a conversation about leadership in a crisis. So Liz and Julie, I just wanted to talk to both of you. Julie, you were a career counselor. Liz, you're a big wig about what you think about leadership in a crisis and how people can and should respond. And then Liz, you actually had some communication with Grammar Girl online tonight.
I did. That was so exciting. She had tweeted something that really caught my attention, Leanne. So I responded and we had a little exchange where I learned something that everyone is going to want to understand.
And then, Julie, what'd you think of Liz's chicken?
I have some notes. I have some notes for my sister. I think the chicken looked really great, but there's some technique things. Just a few pointers, Liz, but really enjoyed it. If you are not watching Cooking with Liz, you are missing something.
It's the breakout hit on the Satellite Sisters Facebook group. So she's coming back for season 3. We're going to talk about her chicken and see what she's up to next here.
Okay. I'm excited.
But I think we should start with gratitude for all workers, healthcare, grocery clerks, janitors, fire, police, all essential workers that, you know, we have the responsibility and the duty to stay home. But it's also a privilege to stay home. And I think we are all really humbled by the courage that all these people heading out to work for us each day. We thank you. I also want to make a special note because so many of our listeners, Liz and Leanne, are separated from their loved ones. And so many of our listeners are caretakers. They are people that take care of their parents, their grandparents, children with special needs. And, and I know for some, they're separated. And that is especially stressful. And we are thinking of you and your families at this time. You have a special place in our hearts. If you are not with your loved ones, if you are trying to provide care via Facebook, Zoom, whatever, just keep doing it because you're doing a good job. And I'm sure that your efforts are greatly appreciated. So I think that we just needed to start with where we are in the world today. Right, sisters?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Julie. Yes.
Thank you, Julie.
You know, I this is a highly unusual time. Unprecedented is the word you keep hearing. And I really felt like over the weekend when we got the word that, okay, this is going to be extended till the end of April. Here in California, we've been on a shelter in place for two solid weeks now. People have been working from home for 2 or 3 weeks. It has 100% changed my behavior. I really felt when I heard that April 29th date, like I knew it was coming. I know it's the best thing to do, but it did set me back emotionally. I thought, wow, this is really something. It made me miss my sons. I have not seen my son Brooks, who lives just a mile from me. And I immediately FaceTime my son Colin. He is still in Olympia where he goes to school. He's sheltering in his small studio apartment and waiting for the spring semester to start there. And I just was happy he could report in that scored toilet paper was the best text I got.
That's good. Looking on the bright side.
It did. It sort of like jarred me out of my sadness and my stupor. Like, okay, he's going to be fine. He has toilet paper. You know, I mean, it's very odd, Julie, as you said, to be separated from the people you love.
Right.
And we're trying to do the right thing. And it really got me down this weekend. And then Monday morning, I woke up and I felt like I am lucky to be here and to be able to shelter. I am safe at home. I'm not forced to be at home. This is something I can absolutely do, but it is definitely up and down, up and down for sure. Yeah. Liz, what are you doing these days?
Yeah, me too. I really felt like Monday morning was when it hit me the hardest, you know, because I could get through the 2 weeks just like, well, this is just some kind of extended time off or something. And my life wasn't that dramatically changed. But then when it got extended for another month, and I really started to think more, not so much about me, but like all of the people that have posted in our Facebook group about what they're going through, it really became clear to me what a hardship this is for so many. But my own moment, me in a nutshell yesterday, that I think this sort of crystallizes a lot of what's going on in my head. I've been doing most of my, and the limited grocery shopping I'm doing, there's a little family-owned grocery store just about 4 blocks from me. And so I just thought, you know, it's a small store. I want to support the family. I want to help keep the store open. And, you know, there are fewer people in there than in a big grocery store. So I was picking up a few things there yesterday. And at the checkout, they had some of those, I think they're called the N95 masks.
Oh.
So they had them hanging on a little thing, like you could buy an individual N95 mask. And I had a real like debate with myself, like, well, should I buy one of those? Do I need one of those? The medical people are not telling me, not recommending that I should have one of those. And we need those for the people that are really on the front lines. But then again, maybe I should have one just, you know, as a backup. And I went back and forth. And then ultimately, instead of reaching for the N95 mask, which I believed I should not have one because I don't want to be one of the people diverting supplies from the frontline people that need it. I picked the thing right next to it, which was the sea salt and vinegar potato chips. And that's the way I resolved that in my mind, in that little moment of crisis. Like, I just went with the potato chips and left the medical equipment for the medical people. But I'm definitely doing what they call doom scrolling, which is like obsessively looking at my phone, you know, going through Twitter, going through Facebook, you know, trying to like see, is something great happening? Is something terrible happening? I think it is a little bit out of control, actually, the amount of time I'm spending just scrolling through my phone. So one of my goals for this week is to stop doing that. And then at least I'm on the work front. I explained last week that I had been working on a project that was related to the 2020 Olympics. And so now that this week they announced that's definitely being moved off a whole year, it's just one less thing for me to worry about, think about. I get a little bit of resolution, though it does. It just means, you know, 2021 work-wise, sort of a do-over for me. But better to know, better to know than not know. So that's kind of where I am in a nutshell.
Liz, I'm thinking about that potato chip bag. I feel like if you strung that up around your mouth, that might be good. You could accomplish several things.
Okay. Now you're thinking, sister. Now you're thinking.
So, you know, I did post yesterday in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group. We have a lot of new members, and I can see why. People want a safe place to exchange information and anxieties and worries and hopes and thoughts. And I did a little live yesterday and asked people, how are you doing? And we have hundreds of answers there. They're so thoughtful. I would encourage you, if you're looking for some kind of connection, if you're looking to, you know, find some solace in other people's experiences, or just know that you're not alone, to join our Facebook group page. It's a private group, so you can post whatever you want there. We don't share outside that page, you know, and you may find what you're looking for there. But first, we have a lot of people, Julie, as you said, in our community who are essential workers, and yes, they're posting nurses, doctors, pharmacists, grocery workers. We have a hardware store owner. Right. She's double dipping. We have 911 and crisis line operators working over there.
Yeah.
And I think the comments that struck me was that they are just having a completely different experience during this than we are. They are not staying at home. It's completely the opposite for them. They're terrified. They're, you know, one nurse said, I don't even want to go. She said, I'm going to my shift. I'm worried about it, is what she said. You know, they are going in and they are doing that hard work. And that really struck me, that they can't stay at home. They're not having this stay at home experience.
They don't have the courage. It's, and the courage that they have going to work every single day is amazing. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So thank you for all you're doing. Kate, there is a crisis line worker, and that the news stories I've seen initially about, you know, victims of domestic violence, this is really a very difficult time for them to be forced to stay at home with their abuser. She said they are seeing an increase in calls. So Kate, we're thinking of you. That is really hard work and really important work. So we're thinking of you. As you said, a lot of our Satellite Sisters and Misters are caring for aging parents, and that is very trying if you can't physically go see them, or you have to make really tough calls on, I guess I am going to take them to this doctor's appointment, even though it might expose me, or they're trying to stay in the same house with them, but really limit exposure. That is very difficult. We are thinking for you. Same thing with children with health issues or special needs. Adult children, in particular, that said, you know, they're used to having some kind of freedom, and now they really have to think about that. And then a lot of our people in our community, what are they doing? They're up in the middle of the night. Yeah. They're walking two or three times a day. Their dogs are exhausted. They're stress cleaning. We believe in that they're discovering meditation. Like, everybody is trying to figure out a healthy way to soothe the anxiety. So it's just a lot of anxiety out there. I mean, this is a really stressful time. It doesn't seem like it should be that bad just staying at home, but there are a lot of big question marks out there. So thank you for those thoughtful responses. I'm trying to read them all, but I appreciate it. It's a good place to share. Get it out there.
Yeah, I have to admit, Leanne, that this morning when I started to read through all of those, they're so thoughtful. Like, it really made me cry. It just really did.
You know, but I do have a sense that, you know, in some cases, we have no choice but to be strong. You know, I mean, we can't give in to all the stress. I mean, that, you know, our Satellite Sisters, you know, the sisters, our lives. I mean, we have people around us that need us, you know. I mean, I know in my own life, I know my husband needs me. He's trying to still run a business, and, you know, business all over the world is terrible, and it's
terrible.
Hard. And it's hard, you know, and it's hard and terrible. I mean, your families need us, you know, and that they need you to be strong. They don't need you to be stressed out, even if you are stressed out. And our communities need that. You know, I work with an agency here. You know, a lot of our child care centers have had to shut their doors either because of the virus or because that parents aren't bringing the kids to the centers. So, you know, everybody needs us to be strong. And that's a hard thing to do. So, and in the meantime, I'm trying to run Nana Academy, right? Okay. Because okay. my God, as I have explained, is the only interactions I have are with my husband and then my my son, daughter-in-law, and three grandchildren that live in the same neighborhood. We're a pod. That's we, you know, I know some grandparents are separated from their grandchildren, and that is really, really hard too. But we're a pod. And my assignment, because my son and daughter-in-law both work, is if I could help with the e-learning. Now, as I reported last week, it was madness. It was insanity. I mean, this is, you know, I was like, it's not going to work. This is insane. How is this possible? This cannot be the reality we're dealing with, you know. But this week, you know what, I have a whole new thing. My little six-year-old Peter, who's so sweet, he came over to my house. He said, you know, guess what, Nana? I am going to be here for Nana Academy for a whole year. And he had a big smile.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
A whole year. And
did Nana have a big smile on her face?
I did, Liz, because that melted my heart. But here's the other thing I was thinking as he was saying that. Like, okay, that's that. That means if this kid doesn't learn to read in kindergarten, it's on my watch. Okay? You understand that? That's what it means.
I think you're overreacting.
No, I'm not, Lane. I'm like, he's going to get like grow up and say, well, you know, I've always been behind in school because of the semester I spent at Nana Academy. You know, I just like took that as like, okay, buck up, sister. You have got to figure out all these passwords and make these interactive tiles work and just do it because people are counting on you. And the other thing is, just as we were talking, kids are really stressed, Leanne and Liz.
They are stressed.
Oh my gosh.
I feel for them.
It is so hard for them because they don't have their teachers. They don't have their routine. They, you know, they don't have their friends. I mean, it is, and you know, it's really hard. I want to give a specific shout out to Joshua Blue, who is one of our satellite misters, longtime listener. People know him because he has been posting from in our Facebook group about the situation in Hong Kong. Joshua Blue is an international school educator. He's been overseas since 2003. He's served as both a vice principal and he's going to be heading up the primary area of his school come July. And his latest Facebook post, if you haven't read it, you should go read it. But he had some just great observations because they're so much farther along with the shelter in place, trying to educate in place kind of thing. And he said the most important thing to realize is this relationship shift, you know, that parents need to be parents. And now all of a sudden they're forced to be teachers or grandparents need to be grandparents. We're supposed to be all about fun and love and magic. You know, that's, you know, it's not our, you know, it's not our rules, you know, our role to teach, you know, a proper noun from a regular noun, you know, that's hard, you know, and we should just recognize that this relationship has gone on during this period. You know, that's very important. And also to recognize that teachers weren't prepared for this. I mean,
right.
They are doing their best to get material online. I mean, they had not planned for this. This is not how they plan to teach. And I do hope one thing coming out of this, when we come through this crisis, health crisis, is that next time, you know, in your community, when they say, hey, should we pay teachers more? Everybody better say yes. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean that, mm-hmm. you know, but Joshua also said, just read, read, read. That's the most important thing. If you don't know what you're doing
right.
at home, if like you can't get into one of the interactive things because the password doesn't work, just take out a book, just read anything, make up stories, talk about stories. That's it, you know. But also talk about what's happening. I think that's really important to help kids process. And of course, that's what Joshua said. You know, and he said to make sure that anyone that is attempting to teach during this period and is not really equipped to teach, that you just take care of yourself. That like you know, it's very stressful for me. I don't want to, you know, let my grandchildren down. I don't want to disappoint them. I want to like make it smooth and nice for them, you know. So he said one silver lining is you are getting to spend this really kind of special time with your kids that, you know, you may never have again, hopefully, you know, that.
Yeah.
But some excellent observations by Joshua Blue. So check it out on our Facebook group. Yep.
Yeah. I think go ahead, Liam.
I was thinking, as you said that, you know, yours was the generation of women that has felt guilty since the minute they graduated from college. And you're just carrying on with that. So excellent. You felt guilty working, raising kids. You're the first generation try to work and do everything and do it all. It didn't work, but you're carrying on as a grandmother. And that's inspirational, Julie.
Yeah, I have a deep well of guilt, Leanne, that I can tap at any moment. So, yeah, you're right. But you know what I got? I have some sharp pencils and I got a glue stick for week two. I was not prepared, Leanne.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a glue stick. I got crayons. I got markers. I mean, we're going to do it. Okay. That's all I'm saying. We are going to do it.
I like that you're going totally analog, Nana. It's a glue stick is a long way from, you know, an interactive tile portal, blah, blah, blah. But
you need both, Liz. You obviously do not understand the multifaceted, interdisciplinary educational experience I'm offering over here.
I do not, but I'm wishing you luck. I'm wishing you all the best down there. Okay. All right. So yeah, I think we always knew we had an amazing community of sisters and misters. And once again, you're proving it. So sharing with us in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group is just very meaningful. And we hope it's meaningful for you. And we can be like a private place where you can talk about what you're really thinking. So on that note, I just want to say to us and to everyone in our community, happy anniversary, happy anniversary. Just to change gears here a little bit, our show launched April 1st, 2000. That was the first episode of Satellite Sisters on the radio. We were originally on public radio on Saturday mornings. And so believe it or not, this week is the 20th anniversary of us doing Satellite Sisters. Now, we had slightly more grandiose ambitions for the 20th anniversary, but here's the good news. We've got the skills required to deal with the current environment. Like, we are in many ways back where we started. So, you know, I guess we should be happy that we've had the learning curve that we have, because we can pull this off. Anyway, happy anniversary, sisters. Happy anniversary, listeners. We are so happy to be able to be here for you.
On that note, we do need to announce what's happening with our Washington, D.C. Event. Remember, it was a celebration of our 20th anniversary.
And
Good. Sounded like it was going to be a fun time.
Remember what, like 22 years ago when we started planning it in November? But here's the deal. We have postponed it with our co-producers there at 6th and I in Washington, D.C. We've decided that the best thing to do is postpone the event. The new date, it will be spring 2021. Mm-hmm. To be honest, we just wanted to make sure that we could accommodate a new date and not try to do it in the fall if that wasn't going to work out. Like Liz said earlier, we're just doing a complete do-over for spring 2021. All right. So the live event on May 17th in Washington, D.C. has been postponed. 6th and I, who was selling the tickets, will contact all ticket buyers for the May 17th event in about a week with additional details. Okay. So we'll figure out a date and they will contact you about the tickets. So that's the deal. Spring 2021. Woo! We're just going to still call it our 20th anniversary. We haven't changed our logo or our merchandise or anything. Just like the Olympics, we're going forward with our current branding on that. I'm going to thank everybody who was so supportive and so excited. We were very excited, but we want it to be a celebration, and we want to be able to really honor and celebrate our community and what we've done with Satellite Sisters. And so a year from now will be an awesome time to do that.
Yeah. We want to be able to hug each other. Yeah.
Yes. Right. Yes.
It's going to be a very, when it happens, it's going to be a very huggy event. So we'll get there. We'll get there.
So instead of the live event on May 17th, we are working on a virtual event, and we will share the details of that in the coming weeks. We're going to try to do something to mark that, you know, what was supposed to be a great event on May 17th around the same time, late in the afternoon, but we'll figure it out and you will get details. But if you bought tickets already, you will get an email from Sixth and I. So look for that in about a week or so with all the information you need. We're currently working on it.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
There you have it.
It's still a happy anniversary because we're still here for you and you're here for us. And that's the important thing.
Yeah. Do you want to sing a few more bars, Liz? That was really something. I think that was one of our rules. No singing on Satellite Sisters. But you think for the next decade.
It's time for rule breaking, Joel. It's time for rule breaking. Okay. Rules don't apply anymore. I don't even make Hooper wear a leash anymore. Like, what's the point? Really? What's the point?
Okay. All right. We're going to take a break to thank some of our sponsors.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding.
Skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going, like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know, we have raved about the Undaria algae body oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria collagen body oil. Youthful, Liz. Your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SAD Sisters. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SAD Sisters at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
All right, we're back. And you know what, Julie and Liz, this weekend, actually, one of the things that took my mind off everything that was happening was that I had a lot of work to do. And, you know, this time of year, over the last few years, I have written and produced the Women in Business episode, Women in Business. I always say episode, but it's an issue because it's a magazine. The Women in Business issue for Pasadena Magazine.
Yeah.
And then I also produce a luncheon. So it's like a full package. I find interesting women in business. I interview them for the magazine. I wrote a profile. And then I produce a lunch where I moderate a panel discussion at lunch. And I've really enjoyed doing this. Over the years, I've gotten to talk to some fascinating CEOs and people that run universities and big nonprofits and people that are big in the entertainment business and the producer of Wonder Woman and people that started their own beauty companies. It's been fantastic. So I keep a little file during the year knowing this is coming up. Like if I notice someone in the paper, like, oh, she would be good. And because it's a Pasadena Magazine, the idea is that it's women from our area.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, or Southern California, Pasadena, Southern California. So I noticed about 18 months ago that a friend of mine in the LA Times had gotten a really nice promotion. She was becoming the CEO of the LA Chamber of Commerce, which is a big job. It's the biggest chamber of commerce in the country. It's a regional one, so it's all of Southern California. It's got a big budget. You know, she's out there doing policy work and advocacy for businesses and leadership skills and working with employers and employees and large businesses and small businesses in a huge global economy. And I thought, she'll be fantastic to talk to. Plus, she's also like a really nice mom with like four nice kids and a nice family. And they're constantly doing all this good community service work that I just can't force my children to do. So she's a role model to me as a human being and a mother. So I'm going to do this, you know, I contact her in February. We're going to do this great profile about, global leadership and opportunities for women and LA 2028, like what they're gearing up for. And then the world comes crashing down and I'm like, hey, we still need to write the piece, but can you talk about leadership in a crisis? And it actually, because she was so busy, because the world was falling apart, it was hard to get to her. But I finally secured an hour with her this week. Her name is Maria Salinas. And the same thing, I'm talking to the executive producer of Marketplace Morning Report. Again, I thought she'd be fascinating to talk to. Set up this idea of a global economy. Wow, the Marketplace Morning Report has 10 million listeners.
Wow. She
is 10 million listeners, Liz. She produces like 6 mini broadcasts a day, 8-minute broadcasts that she goes to work at 3:30 in the morning here in Los Angeles and, you know, commands a global team in London and New York. Oh, she'll be great. Again, then the world falls out of the financial market.
Yeah, right.
I'm lucky to get to either of them. And so I just wanted, I said, what are your tips? Because now they're all both working remotely. They're trying to command big staffs. They're working around the clock. You know, Maria at the LA Chamber of Commerce is like lobbying Washington on behalf of the, you know, of California business owners for the stimulus package. I've got Nicole from Marketplace Morning Report, and she's like checking in with her reporters nonstop around the clock to get out these 6 different broadcasts. So I just wanted to pass on these 2 ideas because I know in our community, we have a lot of leaders. We have people who are managing businesses, divisions, you know, corporations from their home office now. So one thing that Nicole, who's the EP of Marketplace, said is that she's learned, and she learned this during her coverage of 9/11. She was a researcher, young researcher at ABC World News Tonight with Peter Jennings on 9/11 in New York. And then she led her first team on the coverage of Hurricane Katrina. And so those are huge emotional unfolding news stories. And she said, the most important thing I can tell my team is to pace themselves. She said, because this is not a story that's going to go away next week. Like, it's a story where breaking news is happening, particularly in the economy, which is their bailiwick. But she said, I believe now more than ever in self-care, that people need to step away from the job, you know, go home, watch cartoons, if that's what works for you, she told her team this weekend. But you absolutely need to pace yourself because this is a story that will be unfolding for a while. And in her world, that means, you know, coverage for a long time. I was wondering what you thought about that, Liz.
Well, I mean, that's really good advice because I think, I mean, when I've been through like business crisis and had to lead a team, I mean, nothing on this scale, of course, but you just have to try to get people to focus on like the limited list of things that really need to get done right now. I mean, people are trying to do the same volume of work that they used to do, and you kind of can't, you know. I mean, they have to produce the Marketplace Morning Report every morning, but you still have to provide people, all the people that work for you, a sense of focus about what is most important and let some of the other stuff just fall away. You know, take things off the list. Just make it a shorter list of things we want to do well. And then that's how you have time to step away and kind of recharge your own batteries. So I think that is really good advice from her.
Yeah. I agree. I think that sense that you have to be emotionally recharged, you know, that if you're the leader, you kind of have to be fearless about this. People are looking at you to lead them through this. And And by stepping back, by recharging, by giving yourself some emotional stability as you, you know, head into this. And just as you said, Leanne, this is not, you know, a single day story. We're going to be we're going to be in this crisis for months. So,
You know what? One other thing I would add, though, Leanne, what's really hard, I think, when you're the leader of the team is that part of your job as the leader is to anticipate the future. And that's probably why you are the leader, is because you are good at anticipating the future, whether you're a producer or running a big marketing department or whatever it is. And the future is super scary. It is, and nobody really knows what it is. So that's, to me, again, in my past, where what's been really hard is, like, I'm automatically thinking, what are we supposed to be doing 6 months from now? Like, what adjustments do we need to make? And that's the kind of stuff that would wake me up in the middle of the night. It's not so much the day to day. Can we get our work done today? But what are the implications of this for us 6 months from now? And in a lot of businesses, it's going to be fewer people. There are going to have to be changes in how people do business. And that's what always caused me the sleepless nights. It was thinking about the future, which was my job.
Well, that's interesting because Maria Salinas, who's the CEO of the LA Chamber of Commerce now, she comes from Big Eight Accounting. She spent 11 years at Disney in the financial side. She worked a million different jobs at Disney at a very high level. And then she did her own consulting business. She started a bank and went through 2008, like as the chair of a local community bank. And all of that. Wow. Yeah, no, she has a really like a numbers driven, data driven background. And she said exactly that. Her advice was just run the scenarios, best case, worst case. She said, be planful. And she said, even if that's every day you are making those adjustments, you just have to be prepared, best case, worst case scenario. And it's like, don't be afraid to really take a look at that worst case scenario and see how that's going to play out. And she did say, I believe this has fundamentally changed our economy. So,
yeah. Oh, she did. Oh.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. She did. But she was literally in Washington, D.C. lobbying our senators as the virus was just declared a pandemic. She said on that flight home from D.C. to LAX, she said, I knew everything had fundamentally changed. Mm-hmm. She said, all the plans we had for 2020 went out the door. We refocused, we repurposed, we just planned, ran the data numbers. So, you know, those are tough questions. Those are tough things. Yeah,
because on the one hand, your job is to look at your people and say, it's all going to be okay. But on the other hand, you know in your head, oh my God, it might not all be okay. Right. And so how you manage that with the ups and downs of your people and how you're managing their work every day is super challenging.
Yeah, and they both said communication, that they've spent extra time reaching out to their teams, connecting on a more personal level, checking in, just communicating clear communication.
Yeah.
So I pass that on for people who are at home trying to figure out what to do. I'm at home trying to figure out how to get all of their great advice into a 1,500-word article that I need to turn into tomorrow.
When does this article come out, Leanne?
It'll be the May-June issue.
Okay.
Hey, honestly, I'm grateful that they're going forward with the issue.
Good.
You know, I mean, I write a regular column for Pasadena Magazine. These are the sort of media outlets that are just shuttering right now. And so I was glad that these women could find an hour each to talk to me on Saturday morning. And I'm grateful that the issue's going forward. So, I'll post it when it comes out. The luncheon is TBD, as you might imagine now. And normally we do a great photo shoot with hair and makeup and everything for the women. But I said, just send me selfies from your home office. We'll put those in the magazine. So, but we're, trying to do what we can do.
So. Well, you know, speaking of selfies, I think everyone, whether you're the CEO or you are just starting your job, you've been using video conferencing at work or with your friends or with your community, trying to stay in touch. And the Wall Street Journal had a good article about how to really nail your video work call. But I think we can all use this, even if you're just calling your friends or your book club. Okay, so first thing, sisters. use jewel tones, okay, with your blouses and your pullover sweaters. Okay, this is important. Okay,
this is important.
Okay, jewel tones. That's all you have. If you have to remember from this podcast, jewel tones. Okay, colors that flatter your skin tone: teal, turquoise, true red, navy, periwinkle. Okay, no more patterns. Those are too dizzying on a Zoom call. Okay.
Okay. No more patterns. Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Are you taking notes, Liz?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Because we're all women, we're not wearing ties, but you know, if you have people in your life that are still getting up and putting on a tie for a Zoom call, they don't have to do that. Ditch the tie. Okay. Neat casual is okay. Neat casual, but watch for wrinkles. Okay. You can still get out the iron. You're home. Okay. It's not like you're at work. If you do not put on that wrinkled shirt and get on that Zoom call. Okay. Straighten yourself out because it shows up more on the video. Okay. Don't be extra on the Zoom call. This is not the time. This is not the time to really accessorize the big earrings, the big wrist of bracelets, designer labels. You know, it's sort of the fashion equivalent of being tone deaf, right? Okay. Yeah, that's really not what anyone is looking for on that.
Okay. No. Right.
Okay, this is controversial, but wear pants, okay? Because a lot of people are dressed on top, and then they've got, like, who knows what they have on the bottom. But, see, you can get caught on that. If you have a pet that comes into wherever you're doing your Zoom call, and you have to put, secure the pet, you're going to have to get up from your chair. What if you drop something? Oh, it could be disastrous, okay? So wear bottoms, people. Okay. Can we do that at least for the next month? All right.
Makes you feel more professional anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Grooming, really important. Okay. Women, we got to do the hair and makeup. Okay. We need it. It looks better on the call. Obviously you don't have to go crazy with your makeup and your hairstyles, but you do need to spend a little time on your grooming. And then settings are important. That now, you know, lighting, where are you in natural light? Does it look good? And check out the background, okay, behind you. Are you wearing a color that fades into the background? If you enjoy teal and you have teal on the wall, that might not be good. Okay, you got that?
Okay.
Do that. But Zoom has backgrounds that you can use that I don't know how to do this yet. And that's going to be on my to-do list for the week, is to learn how you can have different backgrounds, like the Matterhorn behind you when you're on your Zoom call. I think that would be very inspiring.
It would be. Yeah. Well, can I ask a question, Julie? This is, I've started to make a list that I'm calling, do we really need a rule for this? Because there are a lot of things that people are just figuring out on their own right now when it comes to things like Zoom calls. I was talking to a friend the other night on the phone, and she's got like now a morning Zoom call with her boss and the other people in her department. And she said the day before, her boss was in bed for the Zoom call, like in bed. And I just want to say, do we really need a rule for this? Can't we just agree? Doesn't common sense tell everyone? No Zoom calls in bed, or at least use the blur your background feature so that people don't know you're in bed. I don't know if that's a generational thing. She's got a millennial boss and she's a boomer, but she's like, wow, that took some getting used to. Your boss laying in bed. Anyway, so I don't think we should need a rule for that. Okay. But speaking of rules, so, you know, as I said, I've been doom scrolling, spending a lot of time, just me and Twitter, trying to figure out, is the world going to survive this? But occasionally you see something that just makes you happy and makes you smile. And so the other night I saw a tweet from Grammar Girl. For those of you that listen to the Grammar Girl podcast, I mean, she's the best. Mignon Fogarty has just been doing it forever. She's a real OG podcaster. Anyway, what Mignon posted on her Twitter was, the pandemic has revealed who people really are. It has revealed that I am a terrible cook. And so... As you know, if you've been watching Cooking with Liz over there on the Satellite Sisters Facebook group, you know, I have also been addressing my cooking skills during this crisis. So I responded to her. I said, same for me on the cooking thing, Grammar Girl. Meanwhile, Sat Sisters need to know, are we in uncharted waters or unchartered waters? The confusion just adds to our anxiety, because I've noticed that everyone on the news, it's like 50-50 if they say uncharted or unchartered. And I just think I would like clarity on that. And Mignon, because she's the best, as soon as I sent that to her, she literally said, I just published this article today. So I asked her.
Wow.
Obviously, she was feeling the same thing I was feeling, like, okay, we need people. Let's just make a decision on what this is. So in case you're wondering, correct usage is uncharted. The idea is you're a captain of a ship. You have all the charts in front of you. Some of the world has been mapped and some of the world has not been mapped. So you're in the part where you don't have a chart for it. It's unmapped. Unchartered, she said chartered would only apply if you were like a chartered bank. So you could be an unchartered bank, but you would never be. This situation we in is not unchartered, it's uncharted. So doesn't that remove a source of anxiety right there? I think it does. Yes.
I'm going to impress someone with that little nugget, Liz. Thank you.
Oh, she's got a bunch of other good stuff right now in the midst of a lot of the crisis words that people are using. Like, what does the word existential really mean? She's covering all of that right now. So I highly recommend that you follow Grammar Girl on Twitter and listen to her podcast.
Yeah, if I never have to hear the phrase out of an abundance of caution again, I will be happy.
Me too, Leanne. Yes.
I mean, it's done. That, first of all, an abundance of caution would have been a month ago. So if you're just canceling stuff now, you're not. That's not what it is. Okay. All right.
Liz, you know we love talking about FrameBridge, don't we?
We do. because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting FrameBridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already FrameBridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the FrameBridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and FrameBridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but FrameBridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds
like... you're going to be happy, okay? That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why FrameBridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit FrameBridge.com or see a local FrameBridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's FrameBridge.com. Thanks, FrameBridge.
So we're back. And now I think it's time to review Cooking with Liz season 2, correct?
Correct.
Sisters. So here's what I've done. I know both of you, like, you have people in your lives that you're responsible for. You have children, you have husbands, whatever. I don't have any of that.
Whatever.
No, I just mean, I mean, you obviously, you established at the top of the show, you feel very responsible to other people. I do not have that. It's just, you know, I've got Hooper, but, you know, so I have been working in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group to, like, create some content that will bring people together. I feel the people I am serving are the people out there who, like me, are thinking, okay, are there some skills I can acquire during this time? Like, what would really make my life better once we are through this crisis? And that's why I decided to try some cooking. It's not that I am, you know, a terrible, terrible cook. I'm just an entirely disinterested cook. And yeah. So, you know, and cooking for one is usually not that interesting, because then you're usually cooking for one and eating for two, you know, is the way that works out. And so that's the problem. Singles know that. Cooking for one, eating for two. So cooking with Liz season one, I made the moussaka because Leon, you know, had posted that she didn't think. Yeah, you dare me to. So, but Cooking with Liz season two, you guys gave me the assignment, and you both felt strongly like it should be a classic. It should be a staple, right? That's right. Why you picked what you picked.
Yes.
Right.
And something that you would like to eat. Yeah.
Right. That and also required some skills. If you're actually trying to learn to cook, sort of sometimes learning how things actually work, and then you can back off and make it easier or do this and that. But like, there are some things that you should really, if you're going to learn to cook it right. That's the difference between sort of the kind of survival cooking you do, Liz, like a chicken breast with balsamic on top. Good. Yeah. And like actually cooking, you know, just really creating something that maybe took a little bit longer, has a few extra layers of technique, but that creates extra layers of flavor. So that was the goal with the Einar Garten roast chicken.
Okay. So Einar Garten's perfect roast chicken. So that's what I made in season two. And in season two, I could apply the lessons I learned in season one, which was having the right equipment is important, and reading the entire recipe before you start cooking.
Way to go, Liz. Way to go.
Thank you. Thank you. And so if you look at season two, episode one, you'll see how I addressed the equipment need. There's an actual unboxing there of the roasting pan that I acquired for this purpose. So I needed a roasting pan, and then I also needed a little brush to brush the butter on the skin of the chicken. I didn't have that either. So I managed to acquire that. And then I focused on, you know, what on Top Chef they call the mise en place. So if you go, just getting everything ready to go, you know, lining up your stuff. So I feel like, well, okay, so I have three episodes in season two. One is the unboxing. One is the actual chicken prep. And then one is the...
I'm sorry, I need to laugh.
One is the presentation. So what did you guys think? Why don't you give me your reviews?
Okay, Liz, the chicken prep. Can we just go right to that issue? Okay, so you made a big fanfare about you had clean hands. You're showing everybody your clean hands, which was excellent, Liz. I'm so proud of you. And then you start working on the chicken. But because you're basically a media executive at heart, there was something wrong with the video, the angle of your camera, your phone. So then you take your chicken hands and you put them on the phone. And then you go, I know, Liz, it's just so... Salmonella. Okay. I mean, I know we're worried about another virus right now, but Liz Dolan... You were so, but that, that can happen. It takes a lot of time. It's very intentional, you know, not to cross contaminate, to take your chicken hands and put them in this, your permanent salt shaker. Cause then you have,
right. Yeah.
The media move that made me laugh.
That's true.
Liz. It made me
laugh. I think, Julie, I think you're right. You're not the only one who noticed that. And I think I would have been more careful if I had not been live, right? Yeah, so
you don't want to ruin a live shot, Liz. I understand that. And we appreciate your courage, risking salmonella, you know, getting it all over your phone. But it was a good shot, Liz. Okay. So that was good.
Thank you. Thank you. Leon, did you have any comments, reviews, thoughts?
Overall, I was 100% proud of you because I think you really took up the spirit of the challenge. And I'm just a big believer in roast chicken as a healing thing, as the meal you want to open the door to. And, you know, when my kids come home from school and various places, that's what I cook, that roast chicken, because I think it just speaks to like This is a wonderful place to be. I thought you did a fantastic job, Liz. I was really proud of you. First, I was proud that you found the fennel and that you executed on the fennel and that you liked the fennel.
Yes.
Because I believe, again, it would be easy to not buy fennel, but now you've elevated fennel. You understand like what a richness fennel brings. Like that's the extra bit that I wanted you to learn. Like you got the chicken, it looked delicious.
It looked beautiful.
The roasted veggies. I'm really proud of you. And I would say the production work was outstanding as a producer. I mean, you've earned the executive producer credit on Cooking with Liz.
The thing about, you're right, Leanne, about elevating it a little bit. I mean, I love roast chicken, but more often than not, I would just buy a rotisserie chicken at the grocery store because I thought, these are pretty good. This is as tasty as anything I can make. And what I learned the other night is, no, that is not correct. This chicken was way more delicious than a grocery store rotisserie chicken. It was layers of flavor. You're right. Yeah. It was just layers of flavor, which I wasn't really aware that that was so key. But I also feel like even when I do cook on my own, I don't do enough seasoning. That's clear to me. I've definitely learned that.
It's very important. Yeah, just season all the way along and do that. Yes. No, you did a good job.
Yes. Okay. So, on the production value, I think you can see I really tried to go for it in the finale. Like So again, if you haven't seen that, I think you'll appreciate there's sort of a surprise twist at the end. And so I would say that a few of the new tools, in addition to the roasting pan and the brush, I might need a new kitchen shade for future. For future seasons of Cooking with Liz, maybe I'll get around to that. Maybe not. So, but here's what for those of you who have seen season 3, you know that let's just say, I don't want to, no spoilers, but my neighbor Deborah is involved. And so I was very happy once, you know, all of the production was over and now it was just time to eat the chicken, that I could share half the chicken with my neighbor Deborah and her husband. Because Deborah is a good friend and a good neighbor to me, but also her husband is a respiratory therapist at a nearby hospital. So it's been a really hard time for him and for them at home, of course. So after we were all done, I, you know, hacked that chicken in half and wrapped it up in foil and left it at their front door, ran home. She's right across the courtyard from me, ran home and then texted her that there was a surprise by her front door. And then I got a text back from her saying, Bernard is already tasting the chicken. It looks amazing. Operation Chicken Drop-Off, a huge success. Thank you so much, Liz. So that was rewarding. And then I got a follow-up. She said, we love it. Nice lemony flavor, so tender and moist. And then I had a thumbs up emoji and 7-star emojis.
Wow. That's great. See? Yeah. So no, you have to put that roasting pan to some good use, Liz. I mean, that would be a crime to just, you know, never use that again. Start roasting, sister.
Yeah. No, so I think you're right that learning just a staple like that, that's always delicious for any purpose, that's good. So for season 3, I was going to go for something more exotic, but you really made your point yesterday in our production call, both of you, that I shouldn't reach so far. So for season 3, what I am proposing, you guys get to approve this, is Claire Tansey has been a guest on Satellite Sisters before. In her book, Uncomplicated, Taking the Stress Out of Home Cooking. Wow, who doesn't need that in this day and age? Page 140 is her fresh vegetable chili. And I think that's what I would like to make. So do you guys approve that as a choice?
Yes, I think chili cures a lot, cures all. Yeah.
Yeah, again, I go with a good, you know, learning to cook recipes you will actually enjoy and make again is the whole point. Not to flummox you with tricky ingredients. So yeah, a great vegetable chili is a great thing to have in your back pocket. I was hoping for a soup because I wanted to see you use an immersion blender. So I was lobbying hard for Julia Child's potato leek soup, but then you surprised me by saying you don't like soup. So
I didn't know that about you, Liz.
Yeah.
20 years we've been talking to each other. Didn't know that. Okay. Liz, I mean, it's just not like soup.
I mean, I wouldn't bother to make it for myself. I would just say that. You know, someone gives me a bowl of soup, I'll eat it. But So.
Okay. So then chili is great. This is a delicious recipe and it's shareable. It's available online. So that's also good. So people can cook along at home because quite a few people made that chicken.
That made me so happy. There's so many pictures of roast chickens in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group. I feel like, you know, if Ina only knew, like, how many of you took up the roast chicken challenge. So yeah, that's great. So that's again why I thought, well, everybody can take a crack at chili. So but I do have a new rule for myself. You know, because here we are in the midst of a serious crisis, and in season one and a little bit in season two, I was making too many stops at the store. So the new rule for season three is one stop only. Good. If it's in the store, great. If it's not in the store, I need to figure out something else. But I can't be shopping around in the neighborhood. So that's another reason why this chili recipe, it seemed like in the spirit of the times, there's nothing too exotic in there. I think I'm going to be able to find it at my neighborhood grocery store. So so there you go. So season three will be the fresh vegetable chili from Claire Tansey. And I'm not sure when exactly I'm going to start the pre-pro on the chili, but I will let you know. Just as long as you're a Facebook group member, you're going to know. Oh, and I did finally figure out how to post the videos to Instagram. So for those of you who follow at Sat Sisters on Instagram, you're starting to see those now. I posted them to IGTV. How about that?
Wow.
So you post them to Instagram TV and then you link to the Sat Sisters feed. So anyway, so there you go. Cooking with Liz season three. We are renewed.
That's great. Okay. I'm going to give you extra credit, Liz. I see that there's some kidney beans in the recipe. If you cook from dried kidney beans, you get some extra credit. Oh. And remember, you can always substitute in any squashes, which seem to be plentiful.
Squash. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay.
Wow.
This is going to be great.
Are you learning a lot about me?
Yes. Yes.
Who
are you, Liz Dolan? Who are you?
I would say squash is like my least favorite vegetable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That is like defying our Connecticut roots.
Yeah. Maybe that's why. Maybe it's, you know.
Okay.
It's my rebellion. Right. No squash.
We look forward to this. All right. We're wrapping up here. We're going to put some entertaining sisters recommendations online. You can find them at our website or at social media. But I did want to mention a couple of things. I created some more playlists over there at Spotify for
Hooray
the Satellite
for us, Leanne. Hooray for us. They are so fun.
Right. So the last couple of weeks, I've been putting together music playlists. It includes a Broadway playlist. Liz, you've been enjoying that?
Oh, so much. There are songs that will make you cry and songs that will make you laugh out loud. And then just some lovely stories in between. Fantastically. And it's an emotional roller coaster. I laughed. I cried. I loved it.
I just want to shout out to the Stephanie Block song from Falsettos, I'm Breaking Down. I think that should actually be our new national anthem. So that's it. I just drive you over there. So this week I put together two playlists. One was a request, a working from home playlist. Now, I don't listen to music when I work from home because I'm a writer and I just can't, my head can't do it. I don't listen to any music. So this one was a challenge for me. So I put together songs I thought had like a driving beat. That was the, like, what's a good steady beat that people can do their work to, answer emails, blah, blah, blah. So working from home by ourselves is the playlist. And then I put together a playlist, music inspired by and the Sweeney Sisters, my new book. So that was really fun.
Okay.
Because when I was writing the book, there's parts of the book that take place in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. And so I really, one of the things I did to go back in time and get my head back there was to put together my own playlist in and listen to it over and over again while I was working on a scene or getting ready to write a scene. And I'd listen to a couple of songs or put my mind back there. So I just put all those songs together in a playlist, and you can find that Music Inspired by the Sweeney Sisters. All those playlists are at Spotify. You can just search Satellite Sisters playlist and find them. There are now 6 of them now. Spotify, you can download the app for free. That comes with commercials, so you don't have to pay for Spotify. Although I feel like it's like the thing that's saving me these days. I love my Spotify membership, but not a sponsor, not an ad, just letting you know.
Yeah.
So,
and by the way, can I just mention Spotify? There are also 842 episodes of our podcast. So
right,
those are all available on Spotify too.
Yes. Okay. So that's what's happening. But you'll find dance, you'll find all kinds of playlists over there. But we'll put more Entertaining Sisters recommendations up online this week because we're a little short of time. We would like to thank Sergio Enriquez for making our show possible. Thank you, Sergio, for connecting us and for being connected to us. And we miss seeing you, but we hope you're healthy. Thank you. We would like to thank our sponsors. Really like to thank our sponsors in this time. They've stuck with us and we're happy for that. And thanks to you, the people that support our sponsors. All right, our to-do list for the week. Who's got something cheerful?
I do. I'm going to work on my jewel tone outfit for my upcoming Zoom call. And I want to get a good background, too. I'm going to fool around with those.
Okay.
Go, Liz.
That's good. Okay, well, I'm making a capital investment for Nana Academy. Julie mentioned on the phone the other day that like puzzles are sold out, that you're having trouble securing puzzles. So we have our own toy expert, Corny Cole, our former producer. Her family has a toy company. So I turned to Corny, I was like, is it true? Is the world out of puzzles? She's like, yeah, actually their 2D puzzle also sold out, but she has a 3D motorized Smithsonian puzzle available, Julie, which she recommends. And she says the best for current times would be their Smithsonian Perfect Cast Museum Craft Kit. So I think I'll be sending you a couple of those, and I'm going to put the links in the show notes to this site if you would like to support a local American-made toy company that's trying to like keep you cheerful and entertained.
Oh, okay.
Good one, Liz.
Good. All right. Well, this is actually the week I start a lot of my publicity for the book. Yay.
Hooray for you, Leanne.
So pretty much everything that was in person is now online. So I start right after this with my first, Zoom interview, and I'll be rolling. So my biggest fear now is that I'm just going to forget because I have interviews at like 6:45 a.m. and 7:55 p.m., like a whole bunch of weird times. So I've got one top, Julie, you'd be proud
Good.
Of me.
Good.
It's got a touch of sparkle in it because that's the way I feel these days. We all need a touch of sparkle, and I'm going for it. So I'm just hoping that I don't forget. I don't get caught up on a Zoom cocktail party.
Make a list, sister. Yeah. Don't forget the lighting, a little hair and a little makeup, but good background.
I always use a key light. And the hair, I've got one more good week in my hair. And then
it's hat.
Then it's going to look. Yeah. Then it's hat time. All right. Hey, we're the Satellite Sisters. We're thinking of all of you. Happy 20th to all of us.
Yes.
Thanks for being here for us. We really appreciate it. Don't forget, call your Satellite Sister.